Hello, everyone. Welcome to the special edition of Employment Matters, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Steve Hirschfeld. Well, today's a special day because it's Tuesday, and on Tuesdays we have what's called Travel Tuesdays, when we get a chance to dial in one of our members from around the globe to share with us what it's like to do business in their jurisdiction. Today, we're going to learn a little bit more about the great state of New Jersey, and I can say that because I was born in New Jersey. And so I'm really excited that Heather Boshin from Dave Pitney is with us. Heather, how are you?
I'm doing great. Also born and raised in New Jersey. Great state.
Beautiful. Well, it's a great state, you know, and like California, you're a reliably blue state. So I'm guessing that your employment laws tend to favor employees just a little bit. Would I be right about that, Heather?
Just a little bit. We like to follow in the footsteps of New York and California and sometimes beat them to the punch.
Yeah, well, I know, because you guys have some interesting laws there. Do us a favor, if you would. What's going on right now? Like, what are the hot employment law topics do you think employers should know about in Jersey?
Well, first, thank you so much for having me, Steve, to share the developments in New Jersey for some employers going into 2024. As you mentioned, New Jersey is on the cutting edge of expanding workplace protections for employees. And the legislation that's happened in 2023 is really no exception. So what are hot topics for New Jersey employers? Well, I think New Jersey employers need to focus on some of the changes that happened in 2023 to make sure they don't miss any important changes when they are looking at their workforce going forward. So I would say there's two really big headlines in New Jersey that every employer who has either a workplace in New Jersey or remote employees in New Jersey should be cognizant of. Even if it doesn't wind up on their desk every day, they should think about that. And so what I'm referring to is there was an amendment and a really extensive expansion of the New Jersey WARN Act. And also there is a newly enacted Temporary Workers Bill of Rights, which seems like it might not apply to everyone, but it comes up more often than you would think.
You know, let's talk about the WARN Act for a second, because, you know, California, we have what we call mini-WARN, right? Dealing with employees that are being laid off. So you folks have a version of it too, New Jersey, your own.
Yeah, we do. And actually, we've had one for a while. And like other states, it's had some additional protections from the federal WARN Act. But New Jersey's WARN Act, which, by the way, goes by the name, if you ever see Millville, Dallas, Airmotive, Plant, Job, Loss, Notification. It's a mouthful. Let's just call it New Jersey WARN. So we've been talking about New Jersey WARN changing for years, since before the pandemic, actually, because that's when the amendments passed. But they were put on pause. COVID-19 gave us a long pause, actually, until April of 2023. So it is now in effect. I have had many companies call me with lots of questions because it really dramatically changed New Jersey WARN, made it different than the WARN Acts in other states and federal WARN, and really enhanced coverage and protection for employees. So let me run through a list of some of the changes or the hot changes that employers should be aware of. So New Jersey WARN covers employers that have 100 or more employees, and they need to provide employees 90 days of notice before they have a mass layoff, a transfer of operations, or a termination of operations. Those are all terms that are defined in the law. And when I say notice, like people who are familiar with federal WARN, notice has lots of information that it needs to be in it. And in New Jersey, it has to be given to the employee and to the New Jersey Commissioner of Labor and Workforce, to a municipality, chief elected official, and if there's a union involved, obviously give the union notice.
You really surprised me. It's 90 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, federal law, as you know, and even California is only 60. So that, wow.
Okay, so we went from 60 to 90. That was one of the headline changes. But by the way, the extended notice is really not the headline here. While that shocks you, we're more generous than California, which again, sometimes people would think that's crazy. But actually, we are the first state to have statutorily mandated severance. So if there is an event that qualifies as a WARN event under New Jersey WARN, employees need to be given severance equal to 1 week for each year of service at the company. And the rate of severance is, you take a look at average rate of compensation for the prior 3 years, and you look at the current rate of compensation, whichever is higher is what you're using for that rate of pay. So this 1 week per year of service is on top of the 90 days of notice. So even if the employer gets it right, gives the notice, they still have to give the severance.
Even if they, for example, were to say, I'm going to give you 90 days of pay in lieu of notice, I still have to pay the severance on top of it.
Yes. So this severance is an additional statutory requirement. And by the way, as we all know, sometimes employers miss that window, whether it's in federal law in the 60 days. Employers are going to miss that 90-day window from time to time because they have to close an operation. They then have to give additional severance of 4 weeks, which is basically like the penalty on top. So actually, if they miss it by one day or they miss it by 90, they have to pay that 4 weeks on top of the 1 week per year of service.
So can I ask you something that is jumping out at me? I mean, even in California, I can get a release if I'm getting severance pay. Because this is a statutory benefit, can I not even require an employee to sign a release?
So that's a great question, Steve. It's the question that the clients are asking. Because of course, they're sometimes paying out of pocket a lot, especially with long-term employees. And the answer is there's no consideration there because it's a statutory requirement.
Exactly.
So yeah, so they would need to give something else, outplacement, more pay, reimbursement of COBRA if they want to get that release. The employees get that free and clear without having to sign anything. So yes, this is a really aggressive employee.
No, this is, people make fun of my state, California. I mean, you're turning to France. Wow, that's really something.
Yeah. And by the way, the definitions even, they've modified the definition of mass layoff so that it only looks at, are there 50 or more employees at an establishment that are being separated. There's no evaluation of what percentage of the workforce that is. And by the way, it used to be if you had different facilities in New Jersey, they could stand alone. Now, all of the employees throughout the state are going to be part of one establishment. And by the way, part-time employees and full-time employees get counted.
One other question, because I do a lot of this work too. So when we talk about 50 people laid off, is it all at one time? Or, you know, under WARN Act, you look forward and back, you know, 60 days. Is there any kind of a look forward and back provision, or is it only 50 laid off at the same time?
You're going to also have that similar, that language didn't change from the prior New Jersey WARN Act. So you're going to have to be careful about the window of time that those layoffs happened also. A big shocker, New Jersey is really ahead of the curve with this mandated severance under their WARN Act. So that was headline number one for you, Steve. I can move to headline number two.
You got another big one. Okay, let's hear it.
So a lot of employers aren't really paying attention to this, or companies are not paying attention to this because they're thinking, I'm not a staffing agency. I'm glad there's a temporary workers' bill of rights, but I may use temps, but I use a temp agency and the temp agency handles all of that, right? I pass the buck. So this temporary workers' bill of rights that passed in New Jersey that is in effect as of August of 2023 is important for all companies to pay attention to if they use temps or if they're staffing agencies. Because it's providing rights to temps and there could be liability running to both the temp agency and to, let's call it the client, right? The client who's getting the temps from the temp agency. So it's going to apply to temps only in certain industries, but it's a pretty long list, just to mention a few: service workers, food prep, maintenance, personal care, construction, all the big ones where they're using temps on jobs. Every temp agency that is throwing out temps to New Jersey companies must be certified by the state of New Jersey. And there's a whole process that I won't get into with what they have to do to be certified. But in addition, the companies, the clients that are using the temp agencies need to verify they're using certified temp agencies. This is where I found that clients have an aha moment on the phone with me. Wait, what do you mean? I needed to find out they were certified. It's easy. You go on the website. There's a way to click through on the state website. They need to verify that at the beginning of the engagement and also again on March 1 and September 1 of each year if they're continuing to use temps. The staffing agency is supposed to give notice of change of status, of certification, but again, the client needs to pay attention to this. And the big thing here is temps are given protections under this law, as you would imagine. And temps have to get paid. As we all know, sometimes temps are very underpaid. They're a cheap solution for the client companies, and then the temp agencies make some money on top of it. But I think gone are those days, because temp workers, they can't be paid less than the average rate of pay and the average cost of benefits that these third-party clients are paying to similar employees who are in similar jobs, similar working conditions. So as you would imagine, there's got to be a dialogue between the client company and the temp agency to figure out what that number is. And I've started to see temp agencies ask the right questions. Some don't, if they're not so savvy. Clients of the temp agencies, and oftentimes the clients that I'm advising, they need to be on top of that and make sure that information gets passed along so the temps are properly paid.
You know, you got head spinning, a lot of different things. You know, in the ELA, I think probably all of us around the country are grappling with wage and hour claims. That's become like, you know, the claim du jour, right? Particularly class actions. Are you getting much action in New Jersey on that? And what are the hot topics in wage and hour law right now you guys are dealing with?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the same types of claims. I can't say that I've seen a real divergence. I think I've seen the same kinds of issues, failure to pay overtime. You know, the agencies are active. And frankly, the misclassification issue and how that impacts wage and hour. I mean, I don't know if that's exactly the kind of question you were asking.
Yeah. So in other words, you're getting a lot of these where you're saying this guy's really not exempt, or you're exaggerating the person's duties and responsibilities. They shouldn't be paid a salary. They're on top of overtime. You're getting some of those claims too.
So those claims, as well as worker misclassification, meaning we're calling people a contractor. You know, they're not a contractor. They're really an employee. And actually, over the last couple of years, there has been, I would say, a slew of legislation that's come out, a lot of it targeted at the construction industry, really where the New Jersey state government is finding there's an abuse, that a lot of these folks are being treated as contractors, not employees. And there's been a real focus on curtailing that misclassification and making sure those people are paid hourly with overtime and getting benefits and all of that. And frankly, the New Jersey Attorney General has gotten involved and now filed its first lawsuit at the end of 2023 to, you know, go after some companies for misclassifying a real large number of individuals as contractors, not employees. So yes, wage and hour is still hot. It always is. I'd like to say I have great clients that are following the letter of the law. So we're just, you know, giving them support on the back end as to how to do that.
We deal a lot in California with our new non-compete law that reinforce the fact that non-competes are basically not allowed in California, except under very limited circumstances. I'm thinking of you because I know New York was going to pass a law forbidding certain types of non-competes. And my recollection is last minute, the governor of New York vetoed that. So there was no change there. Are you getting the same kind of pressure in your legislature to carve out exemptions? Because, you know, there are a lot of companies are being accused of applying non-competes to, you know, people in the fast food industry, for example. I mean, where it doesn't really make much sense. What's the deal on that in New Jersey? Are you seeing much action in that area? What's going on?
Yeah. So New Jersey, in a few years ago, actually passed in the last legislative session, so the 2022-2023 session, did have some legislation pending that was really going to curtail the use of non-competes. I actually thought they were jumping. I think it happened right around the time that New York put their first piece of legislation on the books and it started moving through. And we really actually thought that it was going to get a lot of momentum, but it stalled. It stalled in a committee. We kept watching it. And right now, it is not part of the new legislative session. Frankly, I think it's to come. I mean, New Jersey is definitely a state where non-competes are enforceable. Courts scrutinize them more and more as we litigate them. You still can have a non-compete, got to narrowly tailor it, make sure there's a legitimate protectable interest underlying the non-compete. But I really wouldn't be surprised to see something proposed in this session, especially because of where the FTC is starting. We'll see where they come out in the coming weeks. And because of its neighbors, I wouldn't be surprised to see more legislation. But right now, we do not have anything that prohibits or limits use of non-competes other than common law, which just applies some reasonableness.
Okay. Well, one more thing before we wrap up. Is there something that you just think companies doing business in New Jersey need to know on the employment law front, whether it's a development or something that looks to be a development in the future? Anything more you want to mention?
I mean, I was going to say everybody who's in New Jersey has to love Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen, but I'm sure that's not what we're talking about here. So on the horizon, pay attention, because New Jersey already has some proposed legislation in areas that are neighboring states, and especially New York City is actually faster than New York State and like California. So I saw a proposal to expand the anti-discrimination laws to cover height and weight discrimination. I saw a salary transparency law to make sure that when you're advertising for jobs that you include the range of compensation. Again, these are proposals, but they seem like ones that are likely to pass, given that they've passed pretty quickly in New York, California, and otherwise. There's actually some movement to try to expand the coverage of the New Jersey Family Leave Act, which grants job-protected leave. Right now, it applies to employers with 30 or more employees. I saw something that's trying to reduce that number, so it covers even smaller employers. Basically, companies in New Jersey, or even if you don't have a location, if you have remote workers in New Jersey, because our laws apply to them, really need to stay tuned, because I really expect to see significant changes in 2024, just like in 2023.
Heather, this was fun. You always have enthusiasm for employment law. Love it. Love it. So it's great seeing you. Folks, if you want to connect with Heather, it's really easy to do. You can find her bio by clicking on her name in the description of this particular podcast. I encourage all of you, of course, to access ela.law, which is a great site to receive invitations to upcoming webinars, to download our white papers, to connect with our on-demand content, and maybe most importantly, to get access to the ELA's free online platform on hiring and firing worldwide called the Global Employer Handbook. You've been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Steve Hirschfeld. Thanks for listening.